Welcome to Inside Texas Baseball, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Before we get into what Academy is bringing to the Longhorn tailgate that we have on Friday, first, Inside Texas, the best place you can go. $1 for 4 months for everything related to college football, baseball, and basketball. We're already through spring practice doing a lot with that. Eric is doing a great job covering everything going on behind the scenes with Texas football. For baseball fans watching this show, you're going to read a lot about this A&M series coming up from Nash and I. And then basketball, the portal's still going well, hot. Keenan and I are doing our Wednesday show every week, so make sure you're tuned into that. And $1 for 4 months, you're just not going to beat that. Academy is hosting one of the best events of the year here for Inside Texas fans, the Inside Texas Tailgate Friday against Texas A&M, of course presented to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. You can win a Blackstone griddle, a Yeti 32 hard cooler, a 10x10 Texas flag canopy, two folding chairs, and two tumblers, all just for showing up. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Just one entry per person. It must be 18 years old or older. Nash, I am so excited for this tailgate on Friday. It's going to be a blast. Cannot wait to meet so many of our, you know, behind-the-scenes viewers, readers, everyone associated with the Inside Texas brand. Because, first of all, this baseball team is rolling. It's getting popular because a three-game sweep of Auburn baseball, number 8 in the country, coming into this weekend. Nash, just it was such an awesome weekend from every standpoint. Someone who's been in the crowd for all these games, been around Texas baseball for so long. Number 1 team, and it feels good, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. I mean, Texas, another top 10 series at home, series win at home. And not just that, but swept them, the second top 10 sweep at home in the last two series at home. This is really fun stuff that we're going to watch from Texas.
Yeah, don't tell Billy Lucci that they just had a good series at home or else it doesn't count.
This is the funny thing about that is, like, there's not a sane person on planet Earth that thinks that playing at home is harder than playing on the road. Like, no Texas fan was out there saying that.
Making that claim, yeah.
But on the other side, it's so much easier, and everything was gift-wrapped. It's like, no.
Come on. Yeah, then look what the number 2 and 3 teams in the SEC did this weekend. Well, of course, we're here to talk about Texas, not what Arkansas did, not what Tennessee did. But, yeah, the Longhorns 3-0 sweep. And I was saying this to a friend of mine that it just felt like what a complete series of baseball in particular. You start on Friday, you get the two to three best arms you're going to see all series. It's a close nail biter. Texas pulls it out. Atlantis nails in the end of it. Saturday, a good team win. And then Friday and Sunday, or I guess I'm off a day because of the Easter, but Saturday was the day where they just had that run rule win. Schuster with his career high 8 RBI. It just felt like you got everything you could have wanted out of baseball. We'll start on Friday because that was, you know, the most – close the game that felt like, man, this is going to be a real series. And that Schuster home run was so big. But what did you see, I guess, from the pitchers from Texas keep Auburn to just 2 runs that game?
I mean, I think that you obviously saw Jared Spencer kind of go out, and Max Grubbs, he stepped up. He tied his career high for innings pitch for in a game. And it really just, we talked about him multiple times, how he was in probably the wrong role. I mean, he stepped up and almost in really similar role that he's been in all year, but we needed him to go further than he's gone all year. And he did exactly that, allowing no hits to, three hits given up on 4.1 innings. I mean, 0 hit by pitch, one base on walk. He had 3 strikeouts. I mean, it was one hell of an outing from Max Grubbs.
Just a classic Grubbs game, and you're facing the best from Auburn, and Ike Irish, man, who just was the only person who could hit off of Texas this weekend. Obviously, take Spencer, and it feels annoying for Spencer to go out right when he did because he'd been rolling up until that pitch. But man, Irish is just crazy, isn't he?
That Ike Irish guy. I mean, look, if there's one dude that I could say, you know what, I will take you 20 times a day. that's the guy that I would gladly import over from that. But you want to talk about just clutch hitting. Every time he went up to the plate, I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm like, can you just, like, not hit a home run now, please, man? I mean, like, this is just – I believe he was responsible for every run except for one run.
It's true. He had every RBI season. Because the other run came from a pass ball. And we were talking to Schloss after both the last two games, and Irish has apparently been doing this to him since he was at A&M. Just has Schloss's number all the time. He's just tired of him. Don't want to ever face him again. So, yeah, Irish is a great series. But Flores with another clutch hit, who it seems like if Flores isn't getting if he's going to get a hit during the game, it's going to be in the clutchest moment possible. Otherwise, he's going to strike out, which we can talk about his struggles a little bit more later. But I still think it was a fine series for him. And then obviously the Kimbrel Schuessler home run, who is the hottest player on the planet right now, SEC Player of the Week. Just such a great job this weekend swinging the stick. What do you think's been the difference for him recently? Because it's almost like since last series, he's really just turned it around and brought the power numbers up more, which has showed up most for me.
It's been the same thing that I've been saying all year long. I mean, it's just Kimbrel Schuessler, I think that he has one of the rarest things that you'll see in baseball is when a guy struggles, he just continues to do the same exact thing every single time. Mm-hmm. It's just he's a great example of consistency will reward you in baseball. If you just have a consistent approach, you know, sometimes the ball isn't going to fall down in the right spot, but man, he just remained consistent, and you're not only starting to see the balls fall into the gaps. Now he's starting to hit the ball over the fence. And yep. This is a lot of what I was, you know, coming to the year ready to expect. If you pay attention to the Texas baseball count, they actually started to put out like exit velocities and some of this stuff for the ball.
Dropped on yesterday.
Every single time Kimbrel Schuessler's filling up that list of the top exit velocities from the week. And you kind of know, like, hey, this is a guy that last year he was squaring with the ball really well. You know, he was hitting the ball just they always say like home runs are accidents. You know, you want to hit line drives, and he was hitting line drives. So I call him the double king. You know, it's clear that you look at guys like Will Gasparino and Kimbrel Schuessler and Rylan Galvan. They look completely different from last year.
Yeah, it's different. It's different power levels.
They're more. It's basically like they weren't fat or anything like that, right? Like these like. When we're talking about how they got
muddy so ball. Better
shape, like they were not in bad shape, but they're just at peak shape, and mm-hmm. it just goes to show that the strength and conditioning staff, what they've done over this offseason with these guys, nothing short of tremendous from Kimbrel Schuessler.
Yeah, I think for Schuessler, what I've seen is he's really eliminated these wasted at bats. Right, it felt like he had an odd amount of pop ups early in the year, but there's just he just get under the ball, and it didn't feel like his swing was particularly bad or anything. He was just not converting some pitches into the spots he wanted to. And then it slowly became, all right, he's back to hitting doubles. He's getting the gap power. And then this weekend, it's you leave a pitch and that ball's going hundreds of feet away. It's just going to launch out of the ballpark. So just been awesome to see him, a guy who's been around for so long, who had, you know, that weird relationship with Schloss because he left the team when Schloss came around, even though Schloss tried to get him to come to TCU originally. So it just a great story that he is, especially with this weekend coming up, a former A&M player that – you just got to monitor it going into it. But, of course, the other guy who we need to talk about on this Texas team that a lot of people are like, hey, we're 10 minutes into the show. Why haven't you said a word? Is Jonah Williams, man, a five-star safety. Oh, right, he also plays baseball. Gets the start in left field. And I was surprised when I walked in the press box to see them on the sheet. I'm like, oh, it's gotten bad that we're starting Jonah Williams. But Schloss sounded like it was the first week that he's really been fully healthy, that he's been able to kind of return from that collarbone injury and be a worker, be a full-time player. And that got him his at-bats. And what a weekend he had. I have it down 5 for 7, 2 runs and 3 RBI. The crowd is so behind his back. Every at-bat, every hit, it's just they're all over. And he should have a triple added to that. I know you had your opinions on that ball that went down the line.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely – that. I will have to watch for the broadcast because I'm sure the broadcast got a better view. But from where I was sitting, there's a group of us that are right on the line.
Yeah.
And we're like, that was fair. Right. And like, that's one of the one. So was it fair? Like on the broadcast, like, was it actually fair?
So I never got my eyes on it. Other guys in the press box were saying they thought it was fair. So
We'll just assume it was fair right now. And this is one of my problems with some of the umpiring that we haven't had too much of this, but a call like that, there's literally no subjectivity to it.
Yeah.
It's objective. Did the ball hit the line or did it not? Let the play play. You let the play go through.
And then you can.
And then you go back and you look at it. Because this isn't like tennis. If the ball hits the line, you're still – that's if it makes any contact with any part of that line,
yeah,
it's still a fair ball versus tennis where that thing is out, right? And – I believe that's how it is. I may have my ball sports mixed up, but basically
tennis podcast.
Yeah, we're not a tennis podcast. I have a tennis hat on sometimes, but not today. Yeah, it's he should have had that. I mean, that, like you said, like that ball, if that ball falls, he's probably getting on third base with his speed.
Yeah.
That, like, that was as perfect as you're ever going to get for a left-handed batter. That ball is going to go straight into the corner and just sit right there. But man, what does he do? Just watches. He you know, works a great at bat. Like, sees like what, like five pitches, something like that. After that, doesn't get frustrated, stays consistent, goes and hits a line drive. And that's the other thing. You just saw a bunch of line drives.
That's what I was going to bring up. I think his exit velo on those charts this weekend were at the very top, or at least he was always in the mix. His name was consistently showing up, which just shows the way he was hitting the ball. Because that single he had after that IB, which I think was the two RBI single, was just laced into left center field. No shot for anyone to get there. And he even his first at bat, which I think was a looking strikeout, he got to a 3-2 count. So he was already getting a major league at bat up there, and then steps in, calm as a cucumber. I mean, he's just relaxed out there. He's just there to play ball. Gets that base hit. Of course, he's the head honcho of the skull stuff and all the just getting the fans involved. So it's just awesome to see him be good and playing well for this team.
Yeah, you mentioned the exit velocities. His average exit velocity led the team with 102.7.
Jesus. Off of
that. And that's above Kimball Schuster at 101. Mm-hmm. You also have – and then it's also really encouraging is Adrian Rodriguez.
Yep.
He's looking like he's actually starting to return from that injury. You saw him averaging 101.1. At the home run, that one, I'm not going to lie, that one looked like a double, but like that one did hit the wall, but the batter's eye. So it was a home run, but max exit velocities too. Jonah Williams comes in at 106.5. I mean, this is really encouraging stuff to see from a true freshman. And I think everybody's happy except for Sark, because Sark's gonna be like, man, I just want this guy to practice, right?
He's play baseball until July.
I want this guy to practice, and he won't be happy if Jonah's going out there and playing until. He's gonna be happy a little bit, but there's going to be a small part of Sark that's sitting there saying, if Jonah is playing in late June, I'm not happy, right? Like I need him in my offseason. I need him in some conditioning programs.
Get him ramped up, maybe some punt returns.
But the one thing that really you kind of mentioned, like him being calm as a cucumber, man. Cool as a cucumber probably is a better word, but but more appropriate. But Jonah Williams, if you watch him out there on second base, he's out there, he's doing the.
Oh like, yeah,
he's doing the claps. He's dancing to Rylan Galvan's walk up songs. I mean, it's not a deal where he's not paying attention, right? Every single at bat, if there was a new batter, he immediately turns around, does exactly what you're supposed to do. He looks at every single outfielder, watches for where they go to move. This is a guy that you can tell he loves baseball. Mm-hmm. Like I would probably say this might be his favorite sport. I mean, I haven't seen him play football. I haven't talked to him
anything like that.
Just based off of how I've seen him act, not only on the bench, but just as a teammate, and then also when he gets in the game, man, this is a really special athlete that I'm excited to see it the rest of the time at Texas.
Yeah, grew up in a baseball family. You can tell the IQ is there. He knows what he's doing out there. Played the left field pretty well. He had that one ball that he misjudged a tiny bit, but then, you know, recovered to it. And then Schloss is like, hey, that's why he's such a good athlete. That's why he's able to play football, is he can get to balls like that. But, yeah, he even showed up
in bunting prowess.
Yeah, he might be. I mean,
the whole outfield grouping with Armour, Gasparino, and
this is as good as it's going to get.
You are to get a triple on this outfield, you're going to have to earn it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And you saw that bunt that he had, probably the best bunt we've seen all year from Texas. He just a pure beat out. No, didn't need to throw or anything. He was there. So, just,
ironically, he almost him going so fast, he almost got Tommy Farmer thrown out at second base.
Yeah, right.
Because the third baseman was like, okay. Crap, like dude's already three-fourths of the way down the line. I might as well just look and turn to second. Oh wait, he's taking too big of a turn.
Yeah. And I think speaking of that, with talking about Farmer and Williams, that Williams will be the starting left fielder for the rest of the season unless there's a huge slump. I mean, Schloss has already confirmed he's starting on Tuesday. I wouldn't see any reason why this spot that's been so poor for the lineup would ever change at this point. And with him back, with Mendoza, he's going to be probably fully playing second base next week. Rodriguez is back, playing pretty well. This order is finally able to be flipped the way that Sloss wants it. That's something he's always talked about, is I want my nine hitter to be able to be my one hitter. And it was like the start of the year when Ethan Mendoza, who's now our leadoff hitter, was the nine hitter. But it feels like it hasn't been like that, at least since Ballou has been gone, and really maybe even longer than that. Because I have down the bottom of the order stats. They had 13 hits, 4 for extra bases, and 8 RBI this weekend. That's from the 7, 8, 9 hitters. That included Farmer, Williams, Duplantier, and then Casey Borba hit 9 the last game and hit, I don't know what the actual number on that home run was. Let's say 450 feet, just for the fun of it. Destroyed that ball to left field, the one right before the mercy rule on Sunday, or Saturday. Just an awesome performance from the end of the lineup, which it felt like up until really this week, that's been a problem for this team, is getting that production from Farmer specifically, but also whoever's in left field, whoever's playing, DH or whatever. So really important signs going into the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like the bottom of the order. I believe I'm just checking the first game. Yeah, the first game is the only game that we had the bottom of the order where we weren't really getting hits in. And even then, you have Kimball Schuster, who's sitting there in the seventh hole. And if you're facing a Kimball Schuster in the seventh hole, I mean, good lord,
good luck.
You're probably, and like, it's kind of ironic because the top of the order has been kind of almost in a slump lately, and it's hard to call it a slump. Like,
yeah,
Jalen Flores is on like a 12 game hitting streak right now. He's like hit. But it is kind of funny because like it's a bunch of clutch hits every single time. Like he's like 1 for 6, 1 for 4, 1 for 5. But every single time you look up, it's the hit that you need. Yeah. And you know what? You just can't say anything wrong about that, because this is a sport of failure. I mean, it is what it is. You're just gonna have to take it. But still, to have the consistency of every time there's a clutch situation, we get a hit from him. Man, like I know he's been, a lot of fans have been on him, this season for kind of, slumping a little bit, but he's been doing really good. And then you look at like a guy like Ryland Galvan, he had a really hard hit ball this weekend.
Yeah, he's playing well still.
I have a lot of faith in the top of the order can get back to where they were. Ethan Mendoza, he looks like he's still kind of, I don't want to say struggling or suffering, but the injury is still affecting him to some level.
It seems like it. Agreed.
And it'll be nice when we get him back from injury fully, because when we start to see this, lineup start to get healthy, man, like it does this weekend. I'll say not Sunday, like you said, the Saturday game, because we're getting mixed up here. The last game of the series, that felt like the first true, just complete game from the University of Texas.
Offensive explosion, but good pitching. Yeah, and Riojas didn't have to be used too much either. It was a great, great weekend from Jason Flores. They asked him about Jared Spencer in the press conference, and he immediately dropped an F-bomb. Just, he went, oh, sorry, as he did that in our press conference. It was so funny. But yeah, we can talk a little bit about Ruger, because what's going to happen this next week. But I think before we do that, we're going to hear from Academy Sports and Outdoors, our sponsor for today's video.
Days like this, the anticipation's half the fun. The call to adventure. Possibilities in every direction.
Look at that.
The stories you'll bring back. Right. Even the true ones. And always, already, you can't wait until next time. From first catch to biggest catch of the season, this is where it starts. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
This week is obviously one that's been circled for ages. It's the one that everyone's been talking about. First of all, let's not, because we did this last time, we're not overlooking Texas State. Tomorrow they will be in San Marcos to play Texas State, a team who's already taken a game from them in Austin. It feels like the home team is usually the one away, the way that they've been playing those two. But we've already seen that roster. You assume it's going to be Bing. Hopefully you're seeing Mendoza healthy at second base playing. But anything in particular for that game before we head into the A&M series?
I mean, it's hard to give respect to this Texas State team. I mean, I think that really you're going to see this Texas team come out fired up, because being close to the Texas State dugout, they were talking a lot of crap. And sure. I mean, they were getting, I don't want to say they were getting personal with it, right? Like they weren't like talking about somebody's mother or anything like that, but like they were putting some stuff out there, and they had their chests puffed out. Now, I mean, I guess if you score after you make a bad base running error where you should have ended the inning, maybe that does get your chest puffed out. But look, this is a 19-20 baseball team. If we lose to them, it's going to suck. It is. I mean, but at the same time, seeing the Texas team being on the season that we are, we can afford to have a loss to Texas State. It is like, it's just going to, it'll be one of those things where if we lose, it is what it is. Who cares? They consider us we're the number one game on their schedule every single year. Maybe Texas A&M is the number one for them, but it's either one or two.
Yeah.
This is, they're going to be up for this game, but at the same time, like I said, I think that how they were talking to the Texas players this last game might have ruined any chances of this Texas team sleeping in Texas State.
Yeah, and Texas's fourth starter, with how good their staff is, as good as anyone's number two around the country these days, with Cade Bing. So it's gonna be a fun one. It'll be one you'll want to keep track of and watch along. But hopefully for Texas, that's a win as you go into this A&M series, because you know there's some news that we need to bring up about it, because Ruger Riojas only pitched, I believe, three innings in this game because Jared Spencer will not be available this week. It sounded like we got a report on Friday morning that maybe Spencer would be good for next week, and then Schloss kind of shut that down. He's not going to pitch on Friday, which the early idea is that it's going to be Riojas on Friday. Saturday, you're going to get Harrison as usual, and then Sunday, probably Flores would be my guess, which still is a fantastic rotation, about as good as what A&M is going to throw out, if not better. You're going to get Prager on Friday, which is always, you know, MLB guy potentially, who's had a struggle-filled season, but that's going to be the one to look out for, is Riojas pitching a Friday, which I'm not sure he's ever done that. That might be incorrect, but it'll be his biggest set and biggest moment he's had as a Longhorn. So I think that's definitely the one to monitor. And what really helps him is that he's going to have a fully rested, fully ready Max Grubbs behind him, who, if you can get 5-4 from those two, maybe 5-3-1, 4-4-1 with Volantis, that's the perfect formula. I think this Friday, whether it's Spencer, whether it's Riojas, whoever's coming out to pitch for Texas on Fridays is going to make it hard for any team to score three or more runs on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's never a good thing to be potentially missing a guy like Jared Spencer.
Yeah.
And look, it sounds like it's pretty much not potentially anymore.
I don't think it's potentially anymore.
He's shut down for the weekend. But, I mean, this is also – it's not something that you'd like to hear, you know. Looks like things initially are going in a great direction. Okay, he's just being pulled out of the game, and then now all of a sudden, hey, we're shutting down for the weekend. You don't like to hear those things. There's obviously something there, and hopefully it's not that serious. But, I mean, as far as Ruger Riojas' ability, you know, to come in and step up in the game, this is going to be huge. I mean, like you said, this is going to be the biggest spot for Ruger Riojas all year long, and I'm just going back and I'm checking the Texas State game last year. I want to see if Ruger Riojas. Yeah, so Ruger Riojas, he did get in versus Texas A&M last year.
Okay.
He got two innings versus Texas A&M, one hit, zero runs, one strikeout.
Sounds good to me.
He faced seven batters, got four flyouts. I mean, so this is a guy that he's had some experience versus not just the school, Texas A&M, but literally almost the exact roster.
Yeah, the lineup that
he's going to be facing right now. So that's some encouraging stuff. And then it's also not a deal where, like, that was a 5-6 ball game where Texas State UTSA lost by one run. So it's not a deal where Texas A&M, he was facing some Texas A&M scrub.
Cruising, yeah.
But that's going to be a big thing. You know, obviously want him to go as long as he can. But, man, really, you like to see Jason Flores – he's pretty much going to be the Sunday starter, it seems obviously getting him in that role. One guy that I'm interested to see if he can really kind of carry a lot of the load for some of the missed innings that are going to be leaving is Thomas Burns.
Yep.
Thomas Burns, he was a guy earlier in the year that Schloss and the staff were talking about how, hey, we want to eventually move him into like a starting role, potential Sunday starter. Ruger Riojas got that locked up, and then all we saw from Thomas Burns is in the last few outings is Phil. He's really starting to get some high pitch counts, and he's actually doing very well. So that'll be a very encouraging sign to see if he does well versus Texas A&M. Because Connor, go ahead and pull up the stats. I mean, over the last 10 games, I mean, Texas A&M, this is a hot team. I mean, they're batting 315 over the last 10 games compared to Texas 281. On base is almost 500, 110 hits, 26 home runs. Like, they're one-fourth of their hits are leaving the ballpark right now. That's one thing that I'm looking at right there. And then they're pitching. Texas, obviously, you know, amazing pitching staff, right? But Texas A&M is not far behind.
No. And this Texas A&M team, 9 of their last 10 games have been wins. They've won series against number one at the time, I believe, Tennessee. Number two at the time, Arkansas. Swept South Carolina when they came into town. So there's no team that's hotter in baseball. I was surprised that they didn't sneak into that 25th spot. But
I'm shocked.
This is the worst time you can be facing them without your best hitter and your best pitcher available. And they're going to have the hitting advantage. They probably are the better hitting team on paper at this moment in time, especially pure out of the park power. Like, you're seeing that 26 home runs in the last 10 games. It's pretty insane.
Outscoring teams 112-49.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your number right there. But the pitching is where Texas has the edge always. And that's how it's going to be for the rest of the season with this Longhorn team. A whole 60 points better almost in opponent batting average, giving it less than 2 runs less per game. The whip's different, but that's because A&M's giving it more hits specifically and giving up extra base hits. But the Longhorns are going to have their hands full with how these two teams are going to play, because Jace LaViolette is back to hitting like the number one, number two, number three pick in this year's upcoming draft. So I think Texas is going to have their hands full on the offensive side of stuff. But I'm really looking forward to the series, because this is a great chance for we've talked a little bit about the top of the order, especially to get their feet wet again and really break out back into where they need to be for the rest of the season. Mendoza as the leadoff hitter has been injured is the main thing. He's been playing DH. He's going to be back at second base. Can he bring back those 2-3 hit games that you're seeing against, I think, Kentucky? He was having something like that. And then Jason Flores, the big number I was looking at is he only has 6 walks in conference play in his 75 at-bats against, you know, 81 plate appearances, just to a .272 on base percentage. I think the big thing is he's got to get back to just getting on base more than just these only hitting for clutch.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you go back to that money ball thing. What does it do? Gets on base. I mean, getting on base is probably – we've talked about it before. I mean, in order to score, you have to get on the base path, and that's going to be a big thing. That's kind of one of the things that was more encouraging about Jonah Williams, is he was, you know, and also not just Jonah Williams, but the entire team is, you can tell that there's been a lot of emphasis on having good at bats. I mean, you got Rylan Galvan. He saw what, like 18 pitches in his first 2 at bats. I mean, on, I think, Saturday. This is just the ability to see a lot of pitches. One, it chases starters out earlier than they're supposed to be. You know, you never want a starter to go like Will Bednar or Will Matthew. You know, you don't like to hear that. You don't like to see those. But I mean, then you go over to, you know, just the whole team is just out there. If they're not, it's really rare to see us strike out. I think like what, 98 Ks to 49 based on balls. I mean, it's not amazing, but we're getting a lot of good walks, and we're seeing a lot of good, you know, good pitches, and that also leads to guys on deck. Now the guy on deck has seen 10 pitches or something like that. Now all of a sudden, hey, that guy might get a hit when you get on base. These things, they all work together.
Well, in conference play alone, they have 22 more walks than their opponents. And a lot of that, like you said, Williams is drawing those good ones. A really underrated part of Casey Borba's game is his ability to draw the walks. He's in the double digits, even though he's not one of the kind of main 4 or 5 batters that is playing every single day. So he's someone that at the bottom of the order, you're going to have to work for every single at-bat down there. And that's come to what we were talking about earlier about these players playing well. Someone like Tommy Farmer, actually, I saw swinging a little bit earlier in the count recently, which I think is been helpful for him because he has the strikeout problems. So if he can attack, I think he had one hit that was just on a first pitch, just laced it out to left field. So if he's going to be able to do that, I think that will be super helpful. He's on, I think, like a 14 game on base streak. He's been swinging the bat really well recently. So that's going to be a key part of this team.
And a guy like Farmer too, like having him on base, that's speed. Like that, yeah. That's probably the second fastest guy on the baseball team, right there. Jonah Williams probably just took that.
Duplantier is up there, but those are the three I'd say.
Yeah, but I mean, also one thing that you're going to get to with Tommy Farmer, you get a lot of. He does seem like he has a lot of experience, even though this is his really first year as a starter. Mm-hmm. But he plays the game of baseball well. He does all the little things that you want to see right, like fielding. He rarely makes a mistake out in the field. Yep. He's a guy that he's probably the only guy, and not probably, he is the only guy on our team that doesn't hit home runs, right?
I think so.
He's just out there taking solid hacks. He's got 9 doubles on the year though, so it's not like he reminds me a lot of like a Kimball Schuster last mm-hmm. year, but just really, really fast.
Yeah, and going over the A&M side of things, that this team's swinging the bat well, and you're seeing like Caden Sorrell really coming back into his own and having a good year so far. Caden Kent has been swinging like crazy recently, Jeff Kent's son. I'm not sure about the injury situation on A&M's side, but it seems like a good bit of their lineup is around. Is Grahovic? I haven't heard much about him. Is he hurt? Because I'm not seeing him on the recent schedule.
To be honest, I don't have that. I'll be able to get back to that here in a second.
We're doing most of the bulk of our A&M notes and research as the week goes on, because we're going to be as in depth as possible for this.
Yeah, well, I'll have some very in depth stuff on some of these Texas A&M guys, because yeah, I mean this is also like looking back to this graphic. I mean, you look at they're out hitting Texas, and this has been the thing is, if you look at their overall numbers on the year, they look worse than Texas, mm-hmm. but they weren't hitting the ball early to start the year, the way that their roster should be. I mean, this is a game that, Texas A&M is coming in really hot. Like we talked about, like you mentioned, how are they not ranked? They should have been ranked 2 weeks ago. When you take down the number one team, I think that at least deserves a ranking.
Put you up there.
Especially when you were coming into the year the number one team. I mean, if you went, I said this before, if you went to a coma early February and you woke up after the Tennessee game and you just started watching, nice. you're like, yeah, so Texas A&M, the number one team in the nation, right? Like after watching the last 10 games. No, that's not how – I mean, that apparently – Apparently not. I don't know how. Like Texas A&M right now, if they were to be ranked by me, they would be in the top 10 teams. They're playing like a top 10 team right now. I am like beyond shocked how they aren't a top 15 team
at this point. I mean, how many teams this year are gonna be able to say they beat the number one and number two teams in the country
on the road?
Yeah, technically they could do it a third time if all goes wrong for Texas. So I think that leads us into where Texas is in the rankings. And we're going to take less time with this one as a part of the last few times we've done it, because there's no mystery about where Texas is. This is the number one team in the nation, pretty much unanimously. RPI, Nash just confirmed Grahovic is still out.
Yeah, or at least hasn't played yet since his injury.
And we'll be all over that for the rest of the week, and you'll be reading a lot. That $1 for 4 months would be a great time to use that right now if you haven't. But, yeah, Texas is at the top of their rankings if you're able to pull that up, Homer. As always, because, you know, they just did their job. The 4 or 5 weeks leading up to this, it's, you know, where are they going to go up again? Baseball America is going to have them at number 5, but, you know, Perfect Game doesn't have them as higher team than baseball usually. But now it's like the only place that had them lower was the rating system, 64 Analytics. And even now you just can't rank any team above Texas at this point in time, Nash.
Especially with Kentucky taking the series on the road versus Tennessee. That kind of knocked them down from the 64 mm-hmm. analytics perspective, and theirs too. I know Texas fans have kind of been upset because they lagged behind a little bit, but also they were kind of one of the more bullish teams early on Texas. But at the same time, theirs is a purely objective thing. I mean, I've talked to some of the people that run their accounts. They're the founder of 64 analytics. Their head guy. He's been wanting to move Texas up earlier than the rating's have. But I mean, this just goes to show, back to what we've talked about before, this is Texas has had to earn every last little bit of this. And it, that's one of the things that gives me a lot of faith that this team is, you know, built to handle games like Texas A&M, like Texas A&M. I understand that Texas A&M, they've gone out there and they've beat the number one, number two Arkansas, number one Tennessee, number two Arkansas on the road. But, I mean, they're going to have to fight for it. I mean, and same for Texas. Texas is going to have to fight to be able to hold on to this number one ranking. But you got the matchup versus number – I'm not sure where Arkansas is ranked this week.
I believe like the 4-5 range. Four or five.
Yeah, you got a good matchup versus Arkansas going in the week after. Then you got Florida. Then you got Oklahoma.
I think you're done.
Yeah, I actually, to be honest, this graphic might be off on the actual like week perspective of it, but
I think you're right coming in, because post Oklahoma there'll be a ranking.
Yeah, you're right, but yeah, so it's really fun too, and I mean it's hard to imagine looking at this ranking, this Texas team not getting a. Forget even saying because I think at this point we're guaranteed a regional.
It's a guarantee.
It would we would have to lose probably every game the rest of the way forward to not wind up in a regional, or to not wind up hosting a regional, I should say.
If Texas wins three of these four games this week, I believe they should have a super also generally.
Oh yeah, the super should be locked up by then. I mean, I'll go. I wouldn't say guaranteed. I would say like a near guarantee. But if we go and we take two out of Texas A&M and two out of Auburn,
Arkansas,
like start if you want to, I'm just trying to tell people right now. Hey, if you're not in Austin, Texas, and you want to go to a super regional, or you want to go to a regional in Austin, Texas, I mean, like, now's the time to start booking your. Now's the time to start booking, man. Like, this is
it'll be here.
Yeah, it'll be here, especially, like you said, like we said, if we take two out of Texas A&M and two out of Arkansas, I mean, Florida, it's hard to imagine them doing too much damage. And even if Oklahoma does damage, it's just, man, I just, this is such a special team. It's hard. It's hard for me to see a bunch of losses coming through on the back half of the season. Now we are having some injuries kind of pop up, but at the same time, we're also getting healthy. So I love the next man up, and the standard of the standard mentality that this team has.
Yeah. I think for Texas, the goal for these 2 weekends is 4 of 6. However that comes around. If you win four,
just take series.
You're the number one team still for sure. Right? And just, you know, Texas fans be aware that like A&M might take a game in the series, and obviously, they could win the series. I would put my money on it being, you know, maybe they take Friday and then Texas wins the next two, or some kind of formula like that, where this A&M team is not going to make it easy. Though the Auburn series felt by the end fairly comfortable, it wasn't easy on Friday. These games aren't going to be easy going to Fayetteville. So I think 4 of 6 is, and obviously winning your Tuesday games is the perfect formula. And I think for the rest of the year, you know, you'll have 12 SEC games left. The goal is 9 wins, you'd say. Is that what you're shooting for? Go 9-3 in the rest, and then you have 5 total losses in SECs. Is that, am I right on that? You would be 25-5 in the SEC, which would just be, I mean, that would be an absurd way for your first season to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Texas wins out of the rest of the way, if we win 7 games, I think it's locked up.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine with 7.
Yeah, you're sitting pretty. I mean, that's you're talking about what? How many games are left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's six, about 16 games left.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 games. Gotcha. So if you're taking 7, that would be a bad end of the season, to be honest. If we go 7-10, right? It would kind of change still a little
40-win team.
Yeah, it's still a 40-win team, and 40-15. Obviously, we would have been trending down. It'd kind of feel a little bit like 2019, except for we're actually in the tournament and we're hosting still. But again, like it's really hard to see this team falling into a stretch where we go like that.
Yeah, just the way the pitching is.
Not just pitch, like we said. I mean, we haven't. We Auburn and Ole Miss are probably the only complete games that we've seen from both sides of the roster, pitching and batting, and then also fielding. But that also works towards Texas's favor because at the same time, when the pitching starts lacking, the bats step up. When the bats are lacking, the pitching steps up. I mean, this is a team that they pick each other up.
Yeah, and I think as the Longhorns transition into probably the most important block of 6 to 8 games left in the season, you're going to see a lot from Inside Texas, from Nash and I. We're going to be writing all week about this. Friday, make sure you're there because Academy Sports and Outdoors is presenting us just one of the best gigs you're going to find and one of the best giveaways you're going to see. Anything you want from a Blackstone griddle, which that's the one I would want the most. Not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. I'm jealous.
Two Eddie tumblers.
I'm jealous, man.
Can we enter?
I don't know if we're allowed to enter, but if we are, man, my entry is going to be put in.
Oh, I'm just that flag canopy and the cooler that comes with all of this. It's just one entry per person, but no purchase necessary. Must be 18 years old or older. Of course, Inside Texas is $1 for 4 months at this current time. The spring practice sale is just the best you're going to find at any program in any site inside the entire college football, college baseball, college athletics world. So make sure you're tuning in to what we're doing on ITYT and, of course, on our boards. Nash, it's been a fun one. We've been yapping for a long time. You're going to hear a lot more from us about Texas A&M. And Connor doesn't like it when I send it over to you. So we're just going to sign off here for the week. We'll talk to you guys next week after this A&M series. And you'll hear from us on Friday as well with tailgate and everything we're doing around that. So thanks y'all for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Welcome. Okay.